We'll turn your Bibles to Matthew. We'll be talking today, since we're having a baptism. I always like to preach on baptism so we can be refresh our memories, and perhaps others that need to hear it will understand the purpose of it. There's a misunderstanding in some places that without being baptized, you can't be saved. That is a misunderstanding. But in the early church, because when people were saved, they immediately were baptized. That's one reason it got so identified with that, and probably the beginning of why people misunderstood that. But baptism is an outward rite. It's one that we will do directly, a pool of water. We believe in complete immersion, and we'll be blessed to partake of that ordinance in just a little while. Matthew, if you will, in the third chapter, we see Jesus himself say he never baptized anyone, but he was baptized himself. Now, we need to be baptized in order of obedience, but Christ gives us examples for all these things. He had no need to do it other than showing us the way, leaving an example. And in Matthew, in the third chapter, it says, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judah and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.' For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, 'The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight.' Now John himself was clothed in camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then Jerusalem, all Judea, and all the region around the Jordan went out to him and were baptized by him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, 'Brood of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruits worthy of repentance, and do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father.'" Won't you see one thing that John the Baptist pointed out? He didn't see in them any fruits where he would baptize them. He didn't see any fruits of repentance. His message was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. These Pharisees and Sadducees were not there for that purpose. They were there for another purpose, and that's to try to destroy Christianity. He knew by what they were doing and by the Lord showing him evidently that they didn't have fruit worthy of repentance. And so those that we baptize are those that show fruits of repentance, those that have come to saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and are ready to be obedient unto him as Lord and Savior of their lives. And so we have a baptism. He says then, in verse 13, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me?' But Jesus answered and said to him, 'Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" You'll notice that Jesus said he submitted himself to baptism. John says, "You know, I don't need to be baptizing you. You need to be baptizing me." He recognized Jesus as who he was. But Jesus says, "It is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Well, what did he mean by that? Well, MacArthur says this is what he means. On the note and on verse 15, he says, "Christ was here identifying himself with sinners. He will ultimately bear their sins. His perfect righteousness will be imputed to them. This act of baptism was a necessary part of the righteousness he secured for sinners. The first public event in his ministry is also rich in meaning. It pictured his death and resurrection. It therefore prefigured the significance of a Christian baptism. It marked his first public identification with those whose sins he would bear, and it was a public affirmation of his messiahship by testimony directly from heaven. So we see several reasons why he did it and why it's necessary. It's not just something that we can say, well, I don't really need to be baptized. Yes, we do. If we believe that we're followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we have confessed our sins, if we've repented and embraced Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our life, then the next thing we ought to be doing is being baptized. And what that does is show what has happened inwardly. We show that outwardly as we go down into the watery grave and then up in the newness of life. And that's what happened to us when we were born again. We've been given a spiritual life. The dead man has now been raised to life and now is living for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you will, at the end of Matthew, in the 28th chapter, if you'll read the Great Commission on the very last part, Matthew 28 in verses 18 through the remainder of that chapter, Jesus Christ gives a commission. It's called the Great Commission. This is what we're to do as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it said, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. And so Christ here now is giving the disciples the authority to go out, making disciples, that is, as they're being converted, baptizing them. And that's not just the end of it. You know, just baptize them, he said, and then teaching them to observe whatsoever, to observe all things that I have commanded you. So it's not just that we come to saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're saved, we're baptized, and then we go on to learn more about how to serve Almighty God, the teaching or the discipleship. And I think that's lacking sometimes in many churches. Very needful that we learn how to be the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is baptism? It is a ceremony, actually an ordinance from God, by which a person is immersed into water. The Greek word means to dip completely, drowning, to submerge, to immerse. Now, drowning, I'm not going to drown you today. You know, we'll leave that part out. But just to understand what baptism is, it's not a sprinkling, it's a complete immersion. You're submerged. The noun baptism is always used in the book of Acts to refer to a Christian, a true professor, being immersed into water. It never has any meaning for anyone else. It's only to the true believer that this is this command is given to. You know, those that have come, again, to saving knowledge of Christ, and now they're dedicating themselves to Christ to serve Him as Lord and Master. One of the first steps and probably one of the greatest testimonies that you can have is submitting yourself to water baptism. That just shows that you have had true meaning, that you're serious about what you're doing. So baptism is a ceremony or ordinance by which a person believes the gospel and is then immersed into water. If you will, turn to Acts, and we see that happening. We get scriptural principles from the Word of God, not something that we make up. So it's Acts in the second chapter, verses 37 through 39, talks about baptism. Peter has just preached a short sermon. There's been conviction. Who have been cut to the heart, those that have been convicted and desire this. And listen to what they say in verse 37. Now when they heard this, talking about the message that Peter preached, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Some say, add to that, what shall we do to be saved? That's not what they're talking about there. They want to know, what should they do? They've been saved. They've come to saving knowledge. What should we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Little word there, F-O-R, for, a lot of times gets overlooked. Some would read this and say that whole thing is needed for them to be saved. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Christ for the remission of sins. But the word for means in the Greek because of or viewing. That's the two words that it's to. So we'll read it that way. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, viewing the remission of sins or because of the remission of your sins. And so we see then that we're baptized not to be saved, but because we are saved. That's an obedient command that we submit ourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts, turned to Acts in the 8th chapter. We see a beautiful picture of this as we read about the Ethiopian eunuch. Acts in the 8th chapter, verses 26 through 39. 26 through 39, chapter 8 in Acts. So now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and who had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. You see the direction from God as he directs Philip to someone who's reading the Word of God in Isaiah. So Philip ran to him. He didn't mess around. He didn't drag his feet. So he ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, and said, do you understand what you are reading? And he said, the Ethiopian eunuch, he said, how can I unless someone guides me? So here we see the man of God explaining to him the Word of God. This is what we're doing this morning, in one sense of the word, preaching the Word of God, making the Word clear so that you can understand it. And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or some other man? He was confused. Was he talking about Isaiah himself, or was he talking about someone else? Well, naturally, it was someone else, and Philip was going to tell him who it was. Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him, because that prophecy was about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water. That wasn't all he preached to him. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? Evidently, he had explained to him a little more than what the scriptures were saying there. He had talked to him about being obedient to the ordinance of baptism. And so he sees much water. Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. So you see the qualification for baptism, one that believes with all their heart, one that believes that Jesus Christ is both Lord and Savior of their lives. So he said, then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he, the eunuch, answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That was the correct answer. He knew him as who he was. He's the only Savior. He's the only one that can save us from our sins. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now, when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So we see a beautiful picture of how this is to take place. We see one reading the scriptures, being converted, understanding that Jesus Christ was his Lord. Philip, again, it doesn't say here, but quite plainly by the scriptures, he had spoke to him about baptism. They saw much water. And notice they didn't just stop and go get a cup full and sprinkle him. Notice they went down into the water and they came up out of the water. So we find a complete immersion. The reason we believe in complete immersion is because we spiritually have been completely immersed in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We've been spiritually baptized into Him and He in us. And so we find there a completeness or a wholeness, a complete covering. And so we see scriptural ground, scriptural authority for baptizing in this particular way. One more scripture, Romans in the 6th chapter. I know I've been in Romans. I'm skipping a little bit, and we're going to come back to it. It might be a month or two, but we're going to quickly go over this part, and because it speaks about baptism. And he says in the first verse of chapter 6 of Romans, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. God forbid. May it never be so. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Tells us a lot of what happened to someone that's been saved. We become a new creature. We don't walk in our old ways. We have now new paths that we walk, new information that we rely upon. We read the Word of God. The Holy Spirit shows us the truth in which we are to embrace and the truth in which we are to conform to. And that's what he's saying when he said, how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? We don't. The sin's been taken away. And now, because we're new creatures, we're learning new things. We're learning the Word of God and how we're to function as true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he goes on to say this, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now, this baptized into Christ, this does not refer to water baptism. Paul is actually using the word baptized in a metaphorical sense, as we might in saying someone was immersed in his work or underwent his baptism of fire while experiencing some kind of trouble. All Christians have, by placing saving faith in him, been spiritually immersed into the person of Christ, that is, united and identified with him. Certainly, water baptism pictures this reality, which is the purpose to show the transformation of the justified. And it says, into his death. This means that immersion or identification is specifically with Christ's death and resurrection, as the apostle will explain further on. Verse 4 said, we're buried with him. Since we are united by faith with him, as baptism symbolizes, his death and burial becomes ours. This newness of life, this is true. If in Christ we died and were buried with him, we have also been united with him in his resurrection. There is a new quality and character to our lives, a new principle of life. This speaks of the believer's regeneration. Whereas sin describes the old life, righteousness describes the new. And there we have a beautiful picture of what it is to be a child of the living God. When we come to true saving faith, realizing we are saved by the grace through faith and nothing exterior like our works, efforts, or even baptism, we then have an answer of a good conscience before God. This is the work of God inwardly, and we see that amazing work of God outwardly when we submit ourselves to water baptism. Baptism is a command. When God commands us to do something, it's not a suggestion, it's a command. And so we willingly do it. We willingly do it. We want to do it. Baptism is a command. It is the purpose of God. It is the command of Christ. And you simply cannot say no, because in Christ all ignorance, pride, indifference, defiance, and unwillingness has been taken away. Jesus says, "How can you say, Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say?" And he also says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Baptism is the strongest testimony you will ever give as a Christian in obedience to Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. Amen. That's baptism. And I trust and pray you understand in a clearer way. I told Brother Lamar, every time someone's baptized, I like to preach on baptism to remind us that have been baptized to the one who is going to be baptized, what it means. It's important that we know that.